to the point.
Can non-members take the sacrament? As you know, the bread and water of the sacrament are meant for church members so we can renew our baptismal covenants. However, we should not do anything during sacrament meeting to prevent non-members from partaking of the sacrament. It's good to invite non-member friends and family to church, and we want them to feel welcome and comfortable in our meetings. It would be helpful to prepare them for sacrament meeting by explaining the purpose of the sacrament and what will happen during the meeting. If they ask whether they should take the sacrament, simply tell them that they may choose to do so, but that it is intended for church members who are renewing their baptismal covenants. As Elder Dallin H. Oakes of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles has said, the ordinance of the sacrament makes the sacrament meeting the most sacred and important meeting in the church. We should help non-members understand this important ordinance, ensuring that they also feel comfortable at our meetings.
Do animals have spirits? What happens to them after they die? Yes, animals have spirits. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 77, verses 2 and 3. Of course, there is a major difference between animals' spirits and our spirits. We are begotten sons and daughters of Heavenly Father, and they are not. And according to the prophet Joseph Smith, there are at least some animals in heaven. He said, John saw curious-looking beasts in heaven, actually there, giving glory to God. See Revelations chapter 5, verse 13. I suppose John saw beings there of 1,000 forms that had been saved from 10,000 times 10,000 earths like this. Strange beasts of which we have no conception, all might be seen in heaven. John learned that God glorified himself by saving all that his hands had made, whether beasts, fowls, fishes, or men, and he will glorify himself with them. In History of the Church, Volume 5, page 343. So although we don't have a complete understanding of what happens to animals after they die, we believe that they will enjoy some kind of salvation and immortality. End of the article, to the point.
To the point. Is there a limit on repenting? If I have to ask forgiveness for the same thing over and over, will I reach a limit at some point? There are two things to remember here. One, God's mercy is indeed infinite. And two, true repentance means forsaking your sins. On the one hand, because of the infinite atonement of Jesus Christ, repentance is available to everyone, even those who have made the same mistakes many times. As the prophet Alma said, Behold, the Lord God sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them, and he saith, Repent, and I will receive you. Alma chapter 5, verse 33. On the other hand, the prophet Joseph Smith taught, Repentance is a thing that cannot be trifled with every day. Daily transgression and daily repentance is not that which is pleasing in the sight of God. Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Joseph Smith, page 73. So what is the key to repentance? As the Lord revealed to Joseph Smith, By this you may know, if a man repenteth of his sins, behold, he will confess them and forsake them. Doctrine and Covenants, section 58, verse 43. And as Alma taught, Whosoever repenteth shall find mercy. And he that findeth mercy and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Alma chapter 32, verse 13. In other words, you must confess and forsake your sins, and try to be faithful until the end of your life. If you are having trouble overcoming a particular sin, don't give up on yourself in the mistaken belief that there is a limit to sincere repentance. Seek help from your parents and your bishop or branch president. Their love, support, and counsel can help you as you strive to remove sin from your life and draw closer to Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ.
End of the article, to the point.